Good morning and welcome to the Local Foods, Local Places radio program on KRZA 88.7 FM, connecting cultures along the Upper Rio Grande. Today I have with me Holly Kahn, the executive director of the Mountain Roots Food Project, and she has been working very closely with our organization, the San Luis Valley Local Foods Coalition, on a new project that is going to help connect local food networks throughout the region. And so this is a really exciting project we want to tell you about. But before we dive deep into that, Holly, would you mind just telling me a little bit about yourself and how you came to be in this job with Mountain Roots?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me, Abe. I was a professional chef before I moved to Colorado. So I come from a food background. And my husband and I wanted to raise our children in the mountains. So we moved to Crested Butte about 10 years ago. Healthy food has always been very important to me, as well as just a deep passion for caring for the environment and the earth. So regenerative farming became an interest. I've always been a kind of a systems thinker, and I was one of the founders of Mountain Roots. There were about eight of us that got together and noticed what was missing in our community, and that was local food, community gardens, even local producers. So I, as part of the founding group, I think we all had a very similar mission, and that was to try to connect the dots, lift everyone up, and give our community what it was missing.
Awesome. That's really exciting. I'm so glad that you did that and are working in this important work, because there's a lot of parallels, as we know, between our two organizations. And so it's just really exciting that we're getting to work together now. What led to our organizations working together on the USDA LFPP grant? And that stands for the Local Food Promotion Program grant.
Well, I've been watching that grant for a few years and actually applied for it when it was called the Local Farmers Market Promotion Program, again, as a way to connect more dots and lift everyone up, and the essence of it being more local food, more people fed. But recently it came up again because this year marks our 10-year anniversary at Mountain Roots. And we started to really take a look at where we've been and how far we've come, and also to look at where we're going in a bigger picture. So zooming out a bit. And over the 10 years that we've been working on the local food movement in the Gunnison Valley, we've been trying to scale up supply and demand at the same time. And we've seen the movement grow. We've seen a lot more consumers, whether they're individual consumers or restaurants or even schools, increasing their demand for local food. And at the same time, we've seen some producers literally start up from nothing and start to scale up their business. So as we're seeing that evolve, it also becomes very clear that here in the Gunnison Valley, we can't exist in isolation. And so our demand is increasing, our production is increasing, and it just makes sense that regional coordination is the next step to growing our movement at the scale that it is. One of the really interesting things that I always go back to is that the Valley Roots Food Hub was meeting truck to truck on the side of the highway to do cross docking with the truck that was coming over from the North Fork Valley with farm runners. And we are kind of in the middle, so Matt from Farm Runners and Nick from the Valley Roots Food Hub started to wonder if maybe Mountain Roots here in Gunnison could be a central location to even just provide a 4 to 5 or 6 hour holding place for food to move from one part of the region to the other. And that just made sense, but it also illuminated a lot more of the issues that I think some of the other players in local food are experiencing as they scale up their demand and their production. So one of the great things is that we all have a pretty high level of communication. And funny enough, the COVID pandemic situation, I think, kind of improved communication across the region because everyone was signing on to weekly calls about the status of the situation and how we could get more food. So that led to continued or side conversations around the regional movement. So I think that, you know, right at the same time, the USDA releases this grant opportunity. And it was almost a no-brainer, I think, for Mountain Roots as well as Valley Roots and the San Luis Valley Local Food Coalition. And even at Farm Runners, they said, yeah, this is really something we should work on, and why not try to have it funded? Because it really is something that we're already doing. And we know that when you have a leader for an initiative, it takes off. And when you have funding, it sort of exponentially grows. So I felt like we had a lot of time on our hands with COVID shutdowns, and I had the capacity to write the grant. I had some willing partners in the Local Foods Coalition and Farm Runners, and the clear need, you know, so that we could stop this truck-to-truck meeting on the side of the road and better coordinate food moving around the region.
Definitely. And just in case people have never seen or experienced that side of things, what do you think the reason is that the truck-to-truck, what do you think the reason is that the truck-to-truck meetings were difficult or not ideal?
Well, so you have two drivers coming from 4 hours away trying to meet in the middle at a certain time at a certain location. And it's just really logistically tricky to get that exactly right. One would be running late, one would be running early. There would be a cattle drive or a road closure or construction or just life happening. And, you know, it would cause the other one to wait. And then there's the literal moving of food from one truck to the other in a parking lot or the side of the road. The logistics, just not super efficient, you know, and something that wouldn't be sustainable. You know, it's a great way to start and see if that's something we could do, and if more food was, if doing something like that would make more food available across the region. And I think the immediate answer was yes. And then as soon as that yes became apparent, a better system needed to be created to support it.
Definitely. Gotcha. Thank you so much for explaining that a little bit more. So knowing that these USDA grants are extremely competitive, what do you think made your proposal stand out?
Well, a couple of things. One is the rural partnerships. I think that collaborative efforts are getting a lot more attention and have the potential to have a greater impact overall. That's something I've always known, and I think now the USDA is paying attention to that as well. I would say that the fact that we are serving a fairly underserved area of rural Colorado. I have been watching Food Hub projects for a while, and they seem to be very focused on urban areas where they look at a radius around an urban center and they bring all the food into the middle, which they call the hub, and then they distribute it to a smaller circle of buyers. And I think what's different about what we're trying to do is there isn't a central hub and then a exactly matched radial distance of buyers and producers. It's more like this node-to-node idea, this sort of web of networks of producers and buyers that each position along the routes are both producers and consumers. And just trying to wrap your head around a different model, for one, of how rural communities would do it versus an urban community. And then knowing that we had the strength of our partnerships and that we were already trying, but finding ourselves under-resourced and over-demanded. It's hard to know exactly what attracted the USDA to our proposal, but I think those are the things that made it compelling.
Definitely. And what are some of the ways that this project will do that and the promotion side of things? Because it's called the Local Food Promotion Program. And so could you explain a little bit about the promotion aspect of the project?
I can try, but I would throw that back to you, Abe, because I feel like that's more in your wheelhouse. I mentioned earlier that we always have felt like it's our job to increase both supply and demand at the same time. Because there are a lot of people out there who want to get into farming and who want to produce healthy, clean sources of food in sustainable, regenerative ways. But they can't just produce whatever they want and hope that it sells. It wouldn't be a sustainable business for them. And then on the other hand, there are a lot of people who think the idea of eating more local food is a great idea. Who can argue with that? But getting it into restaurants, getting it into schools, getting consumers to select it over other options is a boosting demand sort of thing. And to do that, I think both our organizations have seen that education is needed because people vote with their dollars, whether they realize it or not. And so I feel like the advocacy organizations that we are, we have a role to play in influencing their decisions again and again and again and again until it becomes something that local food is not the special, it's the normal. It's the food. But changing behaviors and changing habits takes a long time. So the promotion part, I think, of this grant and this program is really about educating our consumers, whether they're individuals, whether they're our wholesale buyers at restaurants or grocers or institutions, and even our low-income populations, that why they should choose local food, why they should choose fresh, healthy food, how their eating choices influence the health of their bodies, the health of the community as a whole, the health of the economy, and the health of the environment. And I think when people have all that information and put it all together, then they're ready to take the next step of making some kind of lifestyle change. And that hopefully is something, you know, different for every person, but moving them along the continuum that we're all trying to go for, which is just healthier planet and a better world.
Awesome. I love that explanation. It describes everything. And I think you're right about how the situation around COVID kind of spurred a little bit more of attention to the local food network because suddenly it became more of a necessity than an option. And so I think that recognizing that when there were factories, agricultural, you know, large companies in that were being shut down, the local foods that were available became something that was still accessible during shortages. And so I feel like that kind of gave us an opportunity to really start being more collaborative and making sure that we could, you know, grow and we could meet demands whenever they are needed. And hopefully that will become the norm, as you say. I'm really excited to see where things go with this after COVID and as we continue to grow the local food network throughout the region. Right on. So part of this grant, we put together a couple of tours where our organization visited your facilities and your organization visited our facilities. And I was wondering if you could share your experience with those tours and any thoughts that came from these visits.
Sure. Well, I was really happy to have the privilege to come and tour the Valley Roots Food Hub and the incubator farm that the San Luis Valley Local Food Coalition has going. I brought with me Lexi Hughes, who is the leader of our sustainable agriculture program, and Molly Mazel, who is a graduate fellow working in food security. Again, I said I'm a systems thinker, so I wanted a couple other people in our organization to see, to help us all better connect the dots. But as a whole, we were really impressed with the scale of operations at the Food Hub. I actually came down for a tour the very first year that you all acquired the Food Hub, and it was really awesome to see how much it has grown and scaled and how professional it is now and how many producers you all are supporting there. And we, as a trio, we loved the incubator farm. Over the past 2 or 3 years, we've developed a beginner farmer training program here in Gunnison. And seeing the scale of the Food Hub operations and seeing the possibilities that you all have realized at the incubator farm really sparks some ideas for how we can grow the production side of food resources here in the Gunnison Valley and support emerging producers. So, a source of inspiration. Thank you.
Right on. And when we visited your sites, would you explain just a little bit about some of the things that you showed us at Mountain Roots and some of your partners who are going to be involved?
Sure. We took you to our community farm, which is a 1 acre production plot located at the Cold Harbor Ranch. And that is owned by another nonprofit called the Cold Harbor Institute. There we've finally just this year gone wall to wall with our production, meaning we're producing at 100% capacity, and we installed a high tunnel to try to address some of our cold climate challenges. And then we went to what we call our distribution center, which may be a lofty name for it. At the moment, it consists of two converted train cars, and one of them has been converted into a walk-in refrigerator. The other one is kind of this empty place where we do all of our aggregation and distribution on a weekly basis. And that is part of a larger initiative called South Main Gunnison, which is so hard to explain. It is a visionary concept put forward by Joe Bob Merritt. And it's a way for a vision for the future for communities to reinvest and remember the way that we all came together in the past, which was around the arts and around food and around craftsmanship and being real and investing in things that are real. So we're so lucky that Joe Bob Merritt believes in Mountain Roots and the things that we do. And I would say that we share a vision in that way. So I was really excited to introduce you and Liza to them. And then Joe Bob explained to us his idea about something, a project they have going called the Vision Train. And they've been mostly testing this with artists. But the idea is that, you know, everybody, each person, individual, each community, each neighborhood has a vision. And if we focus on our vision for the future, we're actually a lot more likely to realize that vision. So as I said, they've been working on this project, vision training with artists, to try to get them sort of more in touch with their visionary selves. And we're at the point where they were wondering, what applications does this visionary process have in the business world, in fields of entrepreneurship or community development or, you know, education, you know, pretty much anything, as a way to re-educate ourselves and refocus on things that are really important. So unbeknownst to Joe Bob, we sort of roped him into the conversation, but he got very excited to share the Vision Train idea with us. And now I can't imagine us going any other direction. It seems like the best and most natural starting place to ask producers and restaurants and buyers, what is their vision for the future? And find, then I think it'll be our job to find places where those overlap and pick out the pieces that we want to work on together to help everyone realize their vision for the future.
Fantastic. It was really inspiring getting to visit Mountain Roots and South Main and meet Joe Bob. So thanks so much for telling us more about that. What are you looking forward to most, or even some of the things that you're most looking forward to with this project?
Yeah, I would say first, I'm really looking forward to listening. As we work through our food systems initiatives, there's a lot of assumptions that we operate on, and they are very educated guesses. They're developed from communication with partners, communication with people on the streets. But I think that going through a deliberate planning process that includes the roundtables that you and I have envisioned will really give us an opportunity to deliberately listen, to give our full attention and focus to the better understanding of the producers who want to grow their businesses, what their vision and values are, what's important to them, because then we can better direct the work that we do to help them realize their vision. The second thing I'm excited about is on the demand side of things, talking to the consumer markets. I think, again, you can't argue that more fresh local food is great, but what we don't understand is, well, if that's true, then what is preventing everyone from buying and growing and sharing and using more? So again, listening to understand the barriers, because everybody's experience is a little different and everyone's at a different stage in their sort of path along this local food movement. And then the third thing is, you know, next summer we have plans to do some field testing. So to make some matches between producers and consumers, and then to really put these ideas to the test, actually out in the field and see what works, pick the best things that work and go for the implementation grant so that we can scale that up for the region. So I like the theory and practice of it, but even more, I like the idea of putting it into action and it's seeing what works and watching it grow.
In general, why do you think building a stronger regional food network is important?
Well, first of all, it's hard to answer without through the lens of the pandemic, but to set that aside. So, because that is our new normal, I think that the pandemic revealed how fragile our industrial food system is and how dependent we are on it. So we can treat this as a source of fear, or we can treat this as a catalyst for change. And I think rural communities as a whole sort of took up the torch and decided that it was going to be a catalyst for change. The other thing that I noticed is that people of middle to high incomes realize that this concept of food security that we've been talking about for 10 years isn't just for low-income people. Food security is more than just money. And I think those two things maybe brought to the top or brought to the forefront some of the major gaps that we have in our industrial food system and how clearly and how quickly we turn to local sources. And then the networks, the framework, the connections weren't fully established. So to handle the demand. Rural communities, we have lower median incomes than the rest of the state. We are more geographically isolated. We have, as you mentioned, our climate challenges. We just have greater disparities between the haves and the have-nots, and overall a higher degree of food insecurity, not just for low-income people, but a higher risk of providing food for our communities from any source, especially through the industrial food system when it gets threatened by the pandemic. And more people realize that they actually cared more about the source of their food when they realized that food sources were threatened. And they realized that the whole know your farmer and trust your farmer taglines they've been seeing actually matter to them. So I feel like it's our role as a food systems initiative to jump on this opportunity and this hyper awareness that has now spread throughout the community on why local food is so important, and to as quickly as we can strengthen the production and distribution networks so that we can really rise to the occasion and solidify the changes that people want to see so that it becomes the norm.
Fantastic, right on. And do you have any other messages that you want to share with our listeners today about local food, or any kind of call to action if you know something that could benefit or a way for a farmer or a buyer who wants to get involved in this? What's the best way for them to reach out and connect to this initiative?
Well, in the month of December, we're planning to hold roundtable conversations with networks of producers. So producers who are interested in scaling up their businesses should be on the lookout or get in touch with us to be part of that conversation and know that we want to know what your vision is for the future and how we can help you realize that vision. And then whether you are a restaurant owner or a food service worker in a school or an institution like a hospital, or whether you're a grocer, or whether you are just a regular person who likes good, healthy food, anybody who eats, I suppose, would fall into this category. Anybody who eats, I mean, just remember that at the moment, it takes an extra step to access and support local food, but that extra step is a step that lifts up your neighbor, and it's an extra step that lifts up your health, and it's an extra step that lifts up your economy. So when you are thinking, oh, it might be just a little easier not to, I really encourage you to take the extra step, make one small change that votes in favor of local food. And remember that you're having a ripple effect. Invite other people to the conversation, invite them to the table, reach out to your local advocacy organizations and get involved somehow. Part of it is just understanding what the problems are before we can even really attempt to solve them or create a wave of people trying to solve them. But it will take a village to realize this effort, and it will take some time. So the more, the merrier in the local food movement.
Definitely. Right on. Well, thank you so much, Holly. It was great talking with you, and looking forward to doing more work with you in the months to come.
Thank you, Abe. It was my pleasure.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening to the Local Foods, Local Places radio program on KRZA 88.7 FM. And if you would like to listen to this program again, you can see it on our archive at slvlocalfoods.org. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.